Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
Let's go double or nothing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. The last time I made a bet on this program, I lost. But I'm a gambling man, so what the heck. I'll bet you the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates today by a quarter point. A half point is possible, but the latest numbers suggest the economy is hanging in there. So I think the Fed will go with a small cut and then wait and see what happens in the new year. I'll put a double latte on it. Wall Street seems pretty sure a rate cut is coming. The Dow is getting close to 14,000 again. It starts today at 13,727 after gaining 100 points yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 12 to 2718. The S&P 500 added 11 points. In Tokyo today, the Nikkei put on almost 1%. In Europe, investors are selling bank stocks again, so the markets are down a fraction. Oil is trading just above $88 a barrel this morning. That's quite a ways from $100, but oil started 2007 just above $60. And a lot of people blame speculators for this year's big price hike. Today, the Senate will look into that. Here's John Dimsdale.
Investor trading in oil has jumped along with the price this year, and senators want to know if speculators have created an oil bubble. Deutsche Bank energy analyst Adam Siminski says, on the contrary, investors speculating on future prices help markets work.
Speculators in oil are providing the liquidity there. Speculators in corn are making it easier for farmers to sell their corn into the futures market. So the term has somehow become a pejorative when, in fact, it's not a bad thing.
But Edward Krapels of Energy Security Analysis, who will be testifying today, says large investments can exaggerate the underlying price.
You can have a bull market in oil just like you had a bull market in internet stocks that went on for years, even though the underlying value was much lower than what the trade pushed it up to.
Krapels says the government needs to keep track of and disclose how investors are influencing the price of oil. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
If someone added a penny to every one of your credit card transactions, would you mind? The United Way of America thinks you might be okay with it. Today, the charity launches a campaign that allows people to donate 1 cent per purchase. Jeremy Hobson has more.
10 small banks and credit unions are kicking off the program. Customers can opt in. If it works, there's huge potential, says Alex Sanchez, a senior vice president with United Way. He says Americans make 40 billion credit card purchases every year.
That is an awful, awful lot of pennies.
At a penny per transaction, it's $400 million. Now, Sanchez only expects 1 to 3% of consumers to eventually participate.
Still an absolutely significant number of pennies.
So why not ask for a nickel per purchase?
You know, we looked at all those different ways of giving through a credit card, but we really ended up on a penny. Because that's the point where people don't change any other behavior.
Art Taylor heads the Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance. He says the program is the first of its kind and will succeed if United Way can prove the money is being put to good use.
And I guarantee you, if it works, that there will be others who follow suit.
I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Listening to the Morning Report for Tuesday, December 11th on Marketplace.org. Not long ago, Libya and its ruler Muammar Gaddafi were pariahs in the world community. Libya was accused of sponsoring terrorism. The U.S. led efforts for international economic sanctions. But in 2004, Gaddafi renounced weapons of mass destruction. Now the U.S. is restoring diplomatic ties. And as Gretchen Wilson reports, Western countries are anxious to begin trade relations.
France just announced it will sell Libya aircraft and civilian nuclear reactors in a package of deals worth $15 billion. The Bush administration's blessed the agreement, saying it trusts Libya to follow non-proliferation rules. It's just the latest example of how the oil-rich country is fast emerging from international isolation. Libya's proven oil reserves are the ninth largest in the world. That's attracted U.S. firms. Chevron quickly snapped up deals after sanctions were lifted in 2004. ExxonMobil and Occidental Petroleum have also moved in. And with oil now near $100 a barrel, it's also attracting mid-sized companies like Oklahoma-based Bronco Drilling, an oil and gas exploration firm. But not everyone's ready to celebrate. Amnesty International says human rights violations continue under Gaddafi's regime. I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
You know you're really famous when love letters you wrote more than 50 years ago are being sold at auction. Personal belongings of a long-gone opera diva are up for grabs tomorrow at Sotheby's in Milan. Lisa Napoli reports.
Maria Callas died 30 years ago after a storied career as a soprano and a personal life as dramatic as the plot of any opera. Nestor Mascouchin of OperaCollectors.com says over time, her mystique has grown.
A lot of people never saw Callas on stage, but they hear about Callas.
Mascouchin says people are clamoring to bid on the hundreds of items on the auction block, musical scores, jewels, evening gowns, and artwork.
Prices are very high. There's a lot of interest. So it's not for a person who is not really serious about Callas.
Of particular interest, 63 love letters Callas wrote to her husband, whom she eventually left for Greek shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis. He left Callas to marry Jackie Kennedy. All the items in the auction are expected to fetch around $700,000. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Toy companies are probably going to sell about 60% of their products for the holidays. The lion's share were made in China. Product recalls of the past year have many parents wary about Chinese-made toys. But as Stacey Vanek Smith reports, that's created an opportunity for some patriotic marketing here in the U.S.
Some toy makers are dreaming of a red, white, and blue Christmas. Holiday shoppers can expect to see Made in the USA stickers adorning more and more toys. At Maple Landmark Woodcraft in Burlington, Vermont, toy fire trucks are being sprayed with finish. Walking through his factory, owner Mike Rainville says sales of his natural, locally made toys have jumped about 70% since the recalls began. Rainville says he's been spending a lot of time on the phone, assuring parents and retailers that his company uses no toxic chemicals or lead.
You know, we have customers calling concerned to make sure that our finish is safe, and what do you use?
Maple Landmark's website now features a picture of China with the slash through it and assures consumers that the toys are made locally. Industry analyst Sean McGowan says the recent recalls have toy makers on high alert.
At this stage, you know, Barbie's been tested more than Barry Bonds. I think this may be, in fact, you know, the safest holiday ever from the standpoint of what's actually on the shelves.
But McGowan says a Made in the USA claim won't be easy for most toy makers. About 80% of the toys on U.S. shelves are at least partly made in China. That hasn't stopped some companies from fudging the truth, making the Made in the USA claim because their toys are assembled stateside, and not mentioning that individual parts are being made in China. McGowan says this kind of thing makes the whole industry look bad. And he says it's part of the reason toy makers actually want more regulation.
They want a bit more government involvement so that there are standards that they can point to and say, look, this is what we did. The good companies and the safe products want to be able to tout that.
But McGowan says the increased popularity of the Made in the USA label may be just a blip. He says parents who try to buy natural or domestically made toys will face a formidable obstacle.
It's the rare parent that can withstand, you know, the kid in the corner holding his breath until he turns blue because he wants SpongeBob.
But for now, Rainville, the Vermont toy maker, says business is booming, and he's happy to get a bigger chunk of the $20-plus billion toy industry. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Another Christmas toy that's flying off the shelves, Talking Jesus.
Mark 12:31. Love others as much as you love yourself.
All 600 Walmart stores that were selling the doll have run out, and Target doesn't have many left. There are no plans to restock before Christmas. The California company that makes the dolls is called One to Believe. It says many people doubted that a 12-inch tall talking Jesus would sell. Peter, Paul, Mary, Esther, David, Noah, and Moses sold separately. We recently heard that plane maker Airbus was thinking of building a factory in Alabama. Now Italian car maker Fiat is talking about moving some production here. The reason is the same reason your vacation to Europe has gotten so much more expensive. The dollar is weak, the euro is strong. Reporter Megan Williams joins us from Rome. Megan, what exactly is Fiat saying?
Well, the head of Fiat announced that Fiat is now considering opening a factory in the United States. And the most obvious reason is that the dollar is so much cheaper compared to the euro now, and it's very expensive for Europe to produce in Europe and then sell to the United States. The prices are just too high. So that's the main reason. And factory workers in Europe, Italy, on average earn about $10 an hour more than factory workers in the U.S.
But why Fiat? We don't hear that name much here in the United States anymore. My dad used to have one of those little sports cars, but I don't think they sell many of those here anymore. So why would they want to come here?
Yeah, well, I mean, Fiat, as you know, it used to be famous for, what did Fiat stand for? Fix it again, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, those days have changed. I mean, it was in trouble for many, many years. And about 4 years ago, Sergio Marchionne took over. He introduced much better models, better quality, has planned to introduce the Alfa Romeo back into the U.S. It hasn't been there for 13 years now.
Yeah.
But, you know, he also realized that if he's going to introduce the Alfa Romeo into the U.S., he's probably going to have to switch production there.
We already have some plants here in the United States for BMW and Mercedes-Benz in the South. Is the currency thing possibly a driver for more European car makers to think of building plants here?
Well, certainly Volkswagen in Germany is thinking about it. They've announced that they're scouting for a plant right now. I mean, it's all part of the geographical diversification that car companies are doing. They're opening up factories all over the world and really have to in order to keep the prices down.
All right, Megan Williams reporting from Rome. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.